Well, the Word of God in Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 18 said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that word "open" comes from a Hebrew word that means reveal. And tonight we'd like to continue with the message on the doctrine of divine revelation. The doctrine of divine revelation. I'm going to share a couple of things with you tonight that I don't even think I've ever shared, personal things in my life that I've ever shared from the pulpit. I've shared with a few, maybe one-on-one. But anyway, I want to continue tonight. We looked at this doctrine of divine revelation, and we said it was a perfect revelation. The law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. I want you to know tonight that when God reveals something through His Word, you don't have to question it. You can say, "Lord, right there it is." Brother Jason mentioned a while ago what God called sin back yonder when this book was written is still sin today. We're living in a day when evil is called good and good is called evil. But thank God the Lord ain't changed. His Word ain't changed. We talked about it being a personal revelation and how that God revealed His Son. Paul said, "To me," and then he said He reveals His Son in me. I think that's two things that we need to really, really remember in our lives this week and every day, is that God desires not only to reveal His Son to us, and that's important, but He wants to reveal His Son to others through us, in us. And then it was a powerful revelation. We saw the power in creation. We saw the power in conversion. We see God's power in the church. And I'm just reviewing just a little bit to bring you up to where we are tonight. And tonight what I want to begin with is talking about the doctrine of divine revelation and talking about it being a progressive revelation. In other words, God doesn't give it to us all at once. It progresses along. And by the way, this is something that I know I've shared with some, and I'm not sure I've shared with all, but just think about a child. Many children make a profession of faith, not all. We've had a man in this pulpit, at least one I know, that was saved when he was 6 years old. I'm trying to remember his name this Eve. One that jumps up on the pew, Brother Mike Bagwell, was saved when he was 6 years old. Take you deep in this book, buddy. I mean, tell you what's the truth. He's a great preacher. He's a great man of God. So what are you saying? I'm saying you can get saved when you're 6 years old. That's what I'm saying. But here's what I'm going to say. Children, sometimes, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. I don't believe in pumping children or priming children or trying to talk children into doing something. But if your youngin' comes to me and says, "Pastor, I want to be saved," if you think I'm going to look down at them and say, "You're too young, go to the house," you're crazy. I'm going to sit down with them and talk to them. And if they understand sin, and they understand there's a Savior, and that's Jesus that went to the cross and died for them. Here's what I'm going to give you, though. Sometimes, later in life, we see that a person comes and says, "Well, you know what? I need to be saved." You think God's going to hold it against the youngin for acting on all the light that he had at the time? I got Bible for it. Amen. Cornelius was acting on all the light that he had. You know what God did? He sent him more light. He sent Peter down there to his house. Cornelius, the Bible said, his prayers and his alms were coming up to God for a memorial. So what I'm trying to say tonight, when the Bible said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When the Bible said, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation," then the Bible is letting us know, beloved, that you don't learn it all at one time, that there's a progress. We progress. That's why Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind And by the way, there's two things that Paul was not talking about there. He wasn't talking about forgetting his conversion, and he wasn't talking about forgetting his sinful life. You say, Pastor, what? How do you know that? Because every time he preaches, he tells you what he was back yonder. Amen. What he was talking about in that text, Brother Chris, if you read it, all that education, all those things, all of his accolades, amen. He said, I'm going to forget that and I'm going to reach forth to to those things which are before for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said, I've not yet attained. What Paul understood was, is that he wasn't there, amen, that he still had room to grow. And I mention it often, and I don't apologize for it. But I love men like Brother Don that right up till the end was still growing, still learning, still progressing, still getting closer to the Lord, still finding out things, amen, from the Word of God. And I think that's important. That in this progressive revelation, there is a gradual unfolding of the plan and the purpose of God. God don't unfold it all at once, amen. And I'm going to show you a few things about this. God's will, God's work, and God's ways are unfolded. They're revealed to us in a progressive way. In other words, we don't get it all at one time. I'm going to share something with you, and you can look at me like a calf looking at a new gate if you want to. It's all right. I haven't told many people this because people don't believe it. That's okay. If you don't believe it, it's the truth. I had never killed a deer in my life. Never. Have I told you this, Brother Chris? So I've told a few. Never killed a deer before in my life. And my dad and I went deer hunting. And I was it was snowing. And I'm just trying to tell you a little bit about the situation. Brother Junior, it was snowing and it was so calm you could hear the flakes. Have you ever been in a snow like that? They were big flakes and you could hear the flakes landing. There was no wind whatsoever. My dad was down the holler. I left him down the holler and I went on up the holler about 100 yards. We didn't know how to hunt. I had every stitch of clothes. We walked for an hour and a half from the truck. And I had all my clothes on, so I was sweaty. And you sit down, you're going to freeze to death in about 30 minutes. Amen. I didn't know. I learned later you carry your clothes. Amen. When you get where you're going, you get dried off and put you some dry clothes on. You can stay warm and hunt a while. But anyway, I got under conviction about something. I know that now. I didn't know it then. But I got under conviction about something. And what the something was using God's name in vain. And I'm telling you, it come on me like, you sorry thing. I'm talking about me now. Like, how in the world? You see, I was taught as a child that it was wrong to use God's name in vain. And then I got on up in my teenage years and you hear it over and over and over. And it would just make cold chills go all over me. And then I got in the workforce and you hear it and you hear it and you hear it. And it don't bother you because you get hardened to it. How many knows what I'm talking about? That's what. And anyway, then it got worse than that. I'd drop a piece of steel or a big old hot ball of fire when I was welding, go in my pocket or go in my boot. And it would come out of my mouth using God's name in vain. I'm talking about the doctrine of divine revelation. Now, stay with me a minute. In other words, here I am. I'm 20, maybe 21 years old. I can't remember exactly, but that's about the age I am. And Brother Mike, you know what a widowmaker is in the woods? A widowmaker is a dead tree that falls over in the forks of another tree. That's what they call a widowmaker. Stay away from that thing, amen? And it'll make you a widowmaker, amen? But anyway, it was snowing. The snow was going down my collar. I didn't know anything really. And so I figured, man, I'm smart. I got me a big old plastic bag out and I got back under that widowmaker. I sat on that plastic bag. Wrong. It rattles every time you turn around. I mean, you can hear it a mile away in that snow. And that was the wrong thing to do, but I figured that would keep my backside dry. Amen. So I was sitting there under that log. And the Lord came by. And I'm telling you, I looked at the Lord. I said, Lord, and I got under conviction about using God's name in vain. Here's what I said. Now listen, I said, Lord, if you think there's even a chance, that's the way I said it, of you taking my life and making something out of it. I said, would you let me kill a buck deer this morning? And Brother Mike, you've been deer hunting. You're a deer hunter. Brother Mike, a deer, a buck, came out of a laurel thicket right in front of me. Had I been blind, you couldn't help but hear it. Had I been deaf, you couldn't help but see it. Anybody that deer hunts knows a deer with a snow background, it sticks out like a sore thumb. You don't hunt, do you, Caleb? A little bit? That's why I like you a little bit. Anyway. Anyway. That deer, listen, I think I know what happened in retrospect. My dad's a smoker. My dad's down the holler, no doubt smoking. But here's what the deer was doing. Whoo! 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 Horns all over its head. You couldn't kill a doe. It wasn't legal to kill a doe. And I raised the rifle, and I shot the deer. The deer ran around the side of the hill and came right down where I was and slid up against the laurel bush. At that time, I could hear. My dad hollered. I understood what he said, Brother Chuck. He said, did you get him, son? And I said, yeah, Dad, come up here. Well, my dad come up there, Brother Dale. There laid the deer. And I'm trembling because I hadn't forgotten what I just prayed. And I said, Daddy? He said, what, son? I said, the Lord is the reason that deer's laying there. He said, what are you talking about, son? I said, Daddy, the Lord said, there's a chance that he can take my life and make something out of it. I didn't know what it meant to be saved at the time. I thought saved was believing the facts. What I'm trying to tell you is, God didn't reveal to me that day that I was going to preach. He didn't even reveal to me that day that I was going to get saved. But what he revealed to me that day was enough to keep me going. Amen. All I said, Lord, if there's a chance you could take my life and make something out of it. Well, then after 6.5 years of church membership, the good Lord came by on the front bench of Landmark Baptist Church, and he revealed himself to me. He told me that night, honey, all your good deeds, your church membership, teaching the class, working in children's church, driving the van, ain't none of that going to help you. You're going to need to be saved. You must be born again. And that night, God revealed to me, listen to me tonight, every one of us that's ever been saved ought to shout right here, because none of us would have been saved if God hadn't revealed to us our lost condition. And it was progressive. Can you see that right there? That God. Now listen, that night I got saved. Thank the Lord. And then the progress just keeps going on. I could go back in a calendar. I was saved February the 22nd, 1987. And then in March, the third full week in March, on Thursday night, I went down between two pews praying for America. And I come up preaching. I've heard about men that's run from the call to preach. All I can tell you is, youngins, that I went down praying. That's what I meant to do, was pray for America. That's what we were asked to do. And I came up from between those two pews preaching. There were men in that section that heard what happened throughout that prayer. They were shouting. There were people, I mean, rejoicing. My pastor, I didn't know it, Brother Gary, but my pastor, all those guys from North Carolina that he knew, my pastor told him, said, God's got his hand on that boy. Pray for that boy. Pray for that boy. So I didn't even know. People have been praying for me all week. Amen. Steve Robertson said this. The pastor of that church said, young man, you know who you are. God put his hand on you and called you to preach the gospel tonight. I thought he was just talking to me. I thought it was just me. So I jumped the pew. They were actually like little theater seats up there in the balcony where I was at. I come out of there, and Steve Robertson's told this over and over, and he said, I thought, it's just emotion. He really don't know what he's doing. You understand what I mean? That's what Steve said. But he would say in a meeting where I was, but there he is. Amen. You say, Pastor, well, what are you trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that my God, there's two things the devil so far has never been able to make me to doubt. Number one, God saved me that night in February. And number two, God put his hand on me. And I'm just telling you that all that wasn't revealed to me under that log. Amen. All that wasn't revealed to me the night God saved me. But it's just a progress. Do you see it right there? And beloved, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Just walk with the Lord. Amen. Just keep saying. I prayed yesterday as I was studying for this morning. I said, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And beloved, listen, I'm nothing without him. I need him to speak to me and reveal himself to me. And then, now what do? Here you are. You're a preacher. And boy, I tell you, it's a good thing to know that God wants you to preach. Amen. And I'm glad I wasn't trying to figure out if I was a boy or a girl. Amen. But anyway, God called me to preach. So now, I don't know, months went by. And Brother Chris, what I didn't know, God called me to preach, but that could be different things. Am I going to be an evangelist? Am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to be a missionary? What do you want me to do, Lord? And I'm just, listen, I'm going to take my time. We may not get done with this tonight, but listen to me. I'm trying to tell you that God reveals himself in a progressive way in our lives as we study the Word of God, in our families. It don't happen, snap your fingers one time like that. I'm telling you what, it just scared me to death. If he had showed me the whole picture to start with, I believe I would have run the other way, amen, as hard as I could. But here's what happened. I'm praying about that. My pastor had to be somewhere in North Carolina. He left me with the church, Brother Chris. He was in a meeting with a bunch of preachers. One of them said, who's taking care of your services today? Brother Bud said, I got a young preacher in my church. He's preaching for me today. One of them preachers said, are you crazy? That's what he said. Are you nuts? You walked off and left your church? There's not a one of these men here that I'd care to leave my church with. Amen. Not a one. They're going to feed the people. Amen. They're going to get in the Word of God and study. They're going to pray. Ain't a one of them that I'd be afraid to leave them with. And so I preached on Sunday morning. We had a pretty good service. I'm praying now. You remember, through the time, God, what is it you want me to do? There's a long hallway, a long corridor at Landmark Baptist Church, and the pastor had made me a little study in the corner of a Sunday school room, Brother John, two shelves and a desk. He said, if you're going to preach, and you've told people this too, Brother John, you need to study. Amen. And so it made me, I didn't have many books, amen. I had a Strong's Concordance, brother. And, you know, I like that computer, amen. It's faster than Strong's, amen. But I'm getting Strong's on the computer, is what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I come out of there, boy, I had me a message. I was ready to preach. I was coming down through there. Now, how many knows the story of Balaam's ass? I'm going to tell you right now, God stopped me in the middle of that hallway. And it was just like I run into a wall. And I said, Lord, what is it? He said, you didn't ask me what they needed. And I ran. I said, God, you're right. I ran back. I'm talking about 5 minutes till service time. Got down on my knees at that desk and I said, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, if you'll show me what they need, I'll tell them, Lord, I'll tell them whatever you say. And the Lord, if you don't know about this, I'm sure Brother Brian, in that still, small voice, I got over in the book of Peter and I preached on the subject, another trial. Why me, Lord? That was my subject that night. Another trial. Why me, Lord? I got done preaching, Brother Chris, and at our church, I mean, you might get one or two come to the altar at different times. I get done preaching, and the altar, Brother Junior, was full. People everywhere. People praying, the people calling on God. I'm standing in the pulpit shocked. I don't know what's going on. And a man hands me a note, one of our deacons. And the note said, pray for Linda. She's got a lump in her breast. I did not have a clue. But guess who did? I'm going back and I'm thankful for what God's done in the service, and I'm going back after church to my little corner in my Sunday school room, and about the same place, God stopped me. He said, "You're going to be my pastor. You listen to me." And from that day forward, I knew. I went to help a man build a machine shop, Brother Mark. We started in a fence row production machine up there in Abingdon. We had to cut the trees out of the fence row. We formed the concrete and poured it. We built the Quonset Hunt building. We wired it. We done everything. Had the machines all up and running, and I was in a suit and tie going out and drumming up work. But I told him when I started, I said, "Brother, I'll help you. But I have a call of God on my life. I don't know when, and I don't know where, but when God opens the door, I've got to go." He had heard me preach on the radio, and I bet he thought something like this: "It'll be okay." Because it wasn't much to listen to, I can tell you that. It wasn't too long after that I got a call from a church. So now I know God wants me to pastor, right? And I got a call from a church. My pastor, they called my pastor. They had met him in a camp meeting in Greer, South Carolina. This might not be much of a message, but it'll be if you listen to it tonight, because God just takes you a step and a step and a step and a step. He reveals himself. He reveals his will. And so they called my pastor because they had a gospel tract with his name on it. So he went up on the mountain at Wise, Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. When people ask me where I went to school, that's what I tell them: Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. I got a good school, and amen. But anyway, Brother Bud goes up there, and they said, "What do you think? You think you might be interested?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "No, I'm not interested." He said, "But I know where your pastor is." They said, "Well, would you tell us?" He said, "He's sitting on the front bench in my church." That's what he said. That's how I took my first church. I went up there. I'd come in. We're talking about divine revelation now. I'd come in from work every day. And Miss Eve would say the same thing. "What do you think, honey? You think we're going to Wise? What do you think, honey? You think we're going to Wise?" Day after day after day after day. I said, "Honey, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." Got burdened one night, Brother Chuck. And it was about 2 miles from where we lived to the church. And I walked to the church. I didn't just walk to the church. I walked and talked, if you know what I mean. It was a moonlit night. You didn't even need a flashlight. I had a key to the church. I went in, and they didn't have an alarm or anything like that. Back in those days, you could about leave a church door open. But anyway, I went in. I went back there to the corner of my Sunday school room. You say, "What'd you do?" "Brother Mike, I spent the night with Jesus." Amen. I said, "God, I got to know. Lord, would you show me? Would you show me? Would you show me?" And I don't know what time it was, but sometime in the night, in the wee hours of the morning, the Lord showed me. I come in the next night. I walked home at 5 o'clock in the morning, got me a shower, and went to work. I come in the next night, next afternoon after work. Miss Eve looked at me and said, "Honey, what do you think?" I mean, she'd ask me every day. She wasn't a pest, but she was right there close. Every day. "What do you think, honey? What do you think?" "Brother Dale, if I never move from where I'm standing, she'll tell you." I said, "Honey, start boxing it up." I said, "If I'm not the next pastor of the Hurricane Baptist Church, they're going to miss the will of God." Amen. That's the God we serve. Yeah. He can lead you. He can guide you. He can show you. Amen. He uses different things in our lives. It come time for me to leave. I was there 5.5 years in my first church. I hope somebody's learning something from this. I really do. But it blesses me to share my story, because it's some story. Because I serve some Savior. Amen. Amen. And so it come time, and God was putting it in my heart, your work here is done. You've taken the church as far as you're going to take them, and your work here is done. That's what was in my heart. But I called men, Brother John. The Bible said there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And I've always had this great respect for older men of God. And I called men here in Kingsport, some of them, three or four different men. And every one of them said basically, Brother Brian, the same thing. I wouldn't leave without a place to go. I'm living in a parsonage. They said, Brother Vinoy, you've got a family and you've got a responsibility. I wouldn't leave without a place to go. And that's all fine and good until you're sitting there reading your Bible one day, just minding the Lord's business. And he said, Abraham obeyed God and he didn't know where he's going. And Brother Mark, in an instant, I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm done. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. You know what it was? It was a step of faith. And I'm telling you, Brother David, God honored that step of faith. He honored it. And so we go on and we've resigned there at that church. And there's a church in Church Hill, Liberty Baptist Church. They've asked me to come and preach for them. And this is while I was still pastor, even before I resigned. I was in the struggle, but they had asked me to come preach for them, so I went and preached for them. We pulled off of the parking lot, and my wife said, what do you think? I said, I observed three things, honey, three. I said, some of them are obvious. Number one, they don't have a pastor. I said, number two, they don't want a pastor. And I said, number three, they won't have a pastor anytime soon. I didn't know Brother Brian is going to be me waiting 8 months. Eight long. Every time I opened my Bible, Brother Doyle, it was like the word wait was in letters. That big. Wait. Wait. I got with my pastor in the interim there, and I told him, I had three churches wanting me to come. And the one was in a turmoil that I knew God had put in my heart. And I had three that said, come on. We want you. I'm not bragging about that, but I'm just telling you how it is. And I got with my pastor at the time, and he looked across the desk, and here's what he said to me. He said, Brother Rick, do you know what God wants? I said, yes, I do. He said, you better not do a thing. You better not move. You better not pursue anything if you know what God wants. You better wait. Here come that word again. You better wait on God. 8.5 years. I'm talking about God. I'm sure other pastors got stories like this. I'm sure they do. And I don't know why I felt compelled to share it tonight. And I hope and pray to God that it's coming across like it's bragging on a Savior that shows you one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. It come time to leave there at Liberty. God, He sealed it in my heart. He showed me what He wanted me to do as far as leaving. But now what am I going to do? I was preaching in the church. I was preaching in the church that I was saved in. They were without a pastor. Boy, that makes sense. Looks like we're going to Glade Spring, Virginia. That was our home anyway. And we're going to Glade Spring, and I'm going to be the pastor of Landmark Baptist Church where I got saved. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? But God. While I was pastoring at Liberty, Brother Jeff Bellamy come by. You remember Brother Jeff? And Brother Jeff was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And while I was pastoring, had no idea that God was going to be leading me out of that church. But while I was pastoring, Brother Jeff said, why don't you come and help us in this revival? This revival was coming up in the summer. Now I've already resigned. The revival's coming up, and there's only one reason, Brother Dale, as far as I knew, that I was going to go, because I said I would. That's the only reason. I believe if you say you're going to do something, you ought to do it. And I told Brother Jeff, yeah, I'll come and help you in that revival. Well, at the time, I didn't have a church, so I was building cabinets, mowing grass. I had to study and prepare to preach on Sunday. I can't remember exactly where I was preaching, but I had a lot to do. So I said, I'm going to go help them, Brother John, one night or one day. I said, I'm going to go help them one day. And I believe that was Thursday. Their meetings was Thursday, Friday, Saturday up at Northeast. I said, I'm going to go help them. Well, Brother Heath preached me that night. He preached me that night. I preached the message and he looked at me and he said, that message needs to be preached in prison and churches all over this land. He said, brother, I want you to preach at the church in the morning. Now wait a minute. I've got to mow. I've got to build cabinets. I've got to study. I said, okay, no problem, brother. I'll come back in the morning and I'll just cram all that into Saturday. I get done preaching in the church that morning before we go into the prison. We're walking out across the parking lot and Brother Heath put his arm around me. He said, I can't explain this, brother. There's 10 or 11 men on the team. And when there's 10 or 11 men on the team, no man preaches twice in 3 days. He said, I can't explain this, Brother Rick, but he said, I really believe God wants you to preach again tomorrow night. And I remember looking up in that Mountain City sky. I said, God, I don't know what you're doing. Now there's no time to mow, no time to do the cabinets, there's no time to study. It's about an hour and a half drive up there. But you know what happened that third day, Brother Junior? I got up that morning. I was reading in my Bible. And over there, and I believe it's chapter 15, Brother Chris? I believe it is. Where the Bible said, I believe it's John chapter 15. God said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. In one moment of time, sitting on my couch with my Bible open, God showed me that I was headed to prison. In one moment of time, I knew that I wasn't going to pastor, that I was going to prison. I didn't find it out for years, but Brother Ron Garris, one of the gentlest men you'd ever meet in your life until you put him in the pulpit. When you put him in a pulpit, he was meaner than a junkyard dog. Now, you had to know him, but he'd say things like, if you don't like that, bless God, stand behind my car. Backing over you'd be a pure pleasure. Y'all got a general pastor, ain't you glad? He'd look at a woman and say, look up here at me. That look don't scare me. I've been married for 40 years. Everybody that knew him, though, Brother Brian, knew him. There wasn't a kinder, gentler, spirit-filled man than Brother Ron Garrett. I didn't know it for years, but I was reading, God used the same verse to put him in prison. Decades before that. The very same verse. My life verse is the verse that Rock of Ages uses. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. We were sitting at lunch today with Brother Chuck and his wife to be. That'd be a fiance, wouldn't it? Wife to be is easier for me to say. And spell. But anyway, we were sitting there today and talking about the fact that Brother Rick called me in February. I'd been with Rock of Ages 10 years preaching in the prisons. I thought I would die preaching in the prisons. I loved it. I loved telling men about Jesus. I loved seeing men saved, seeing homes changed. You say, well, did they all get saved? Nope, they don't all get saved. Walk down this aisle either anyway. I'm going to let God keep a record. Say amen. Brother Mays Jackson said somebody run up to him one year and said, you saved me last year. He said, so that's what's the matter with you. But here's what I said. I told my wife, I said, honey, I never thought I would pastor again. Brother Rick called me and I came here. He said, you got anything open in March? And I told him I had two Sundays. He said, could we have them both? Then he started this, Brother Brian. He said, some of our people, you preached for us in 2004. Some of our people haven't forgotten. And I could tell then he was fishing. And he wasn't fishing for fish. He was fishing for a pastor. And I said to him, I said, now wait a minute, brother. You do know I'm a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I just ordered $235 worth of prayer cards in January. He said, yeah, I know. You say, why are you standing here today? Because right out there on that parking lot, this doctrine of divine revelation, right out there on that parking lot in a Crown Victoria, I started reading my Bible one night after four services in the Abingdon prison, coming down the road, and God said, why don't you pull in over and pray? People were talking to me here, you know, what do you think about maybe being our pastor? I said, I don't know. All I can do is tell you to pray. And the doctrine of divine revelation. I sat out there and I started reading in Hebrews 11 because God's been good to me in Hebrews 11. He's answered many prayers for me. I started reading. I read Hebrews 11, 12, 13, James 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. And I'm standing here today because of chapter 5. Last time I looked at the clock in that Crown Victoria, it was 5 minutes till midnight. And God said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. You've heard the old saying, broke me down like a shotgun. Can I be honest with you? My flesh didn't want to do it. But the only thing I could have done after God did that in my heart was looked up at God and said, God, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do. How many of y'all been around long enough to know that's dangerous? Amen. And so the rest is history. But I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't serve a God that was willing to reveal himself, to reveal his will, to reveal his purpose, to reveal in my life what he wanted me to do. Brother Steve Dagenhart, how many of you heard him preach this week over at the camp? Boy, it's good, wasn't it? Brother Steve Dagenhart, Brother Mark, he preached a revival at Oak Glen Baptist Church. And I heard him preach in that revival, and he preached the message where Jesus healed the blind man. And he titled his message, Brother Mike, He Didn't See It Coming. Ain't that good? You remember that message by any chance, brother? All the way home, Brother Dale, that night after God showed me, I cried. I couldn't hardly see the road for crying. Now, I remember saying over and over and over, God, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming. But you know what? Our Lord's right on time. I hope if you didn't get nothing else tonight, I'm not done with the doctrine of divine revelation, but I hope if you don't get nothing else out of this tonight, just get this. By the way, somebody might be hung up on that first part back there about that deer. Let me unhang you. How many knows that over there in the Gospels that the Word of God records, and we know that the Lord heareth not sinners? How many knows that that's in the Bible? I was a sinner sitting under that log. I was good at it too, amen. Let me ask you this question. It's recorded in the Bible, but who said it? Anybody know who said it? That's the story where Jesus healed the blind man. You know who said it, Brother Larry? The Pharisees. You know what they were doing? They were calling Jesus a sinner. They said, give God the glory, because we know that God heareth not sinners. Now, first of all, you need to remember who said it, the Pharisees. Read it in its context. They were calling Jesus a sinner. But did God hear Cornelius pray before he got saved? Let me tell you something right now. You don't play games with God. But if there's a heart right there that wants to know something, I serve a God that'll let you know. Amen. I'm not talking about playing games. Somebody said, well, I just don't know if I'm saved. You ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Honey, when he reveals it to you, you won't have no trouble figuring it out. Amen. One way or the other. When he reveals it to you, it's done. Amen. Tonight, I think what God's trying to say to us is just this simply. Don't worry about way out yonder. This step. If you just take that step. If you just take that step. What did the Bible say? Thy word. You say, is it a step in the dark? No, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's a good flashlight right there. One time I was in a dilemma. And I didn't know which way to go. I was trying to memorize Psalm 1. The last verse in Psalm 1 says this, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I was trying to memorize the whole 6 verses of Psalm 1. And the Lord stopped me, brother, in my dilemma. On the Lord knoweth the way. The Lord knoweth the way. There's a song, I think, Brother Junior, that says something like this. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Amen. We'll get through the rest of this maybe Wednesday night. And lots of scripture. But I felt compelled to just share with you a little bit tonight how that God has brought your pastor to where he is. And he wants to take you where he's wanting you to go. Amen. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen. I mean, if God wanted to, he could make me a choir director. 1st song will be, it took a miracle. Amen. Amen. Now, Brother Dale, if God wanted to, he could make you a pastor too. Yeah, you're not laughing now, are you, brother? I remember Brother Bird across the road over here, Brother Ronald. Oh, I got to fellowship with him some, brother. He's a dear brother. And I think God called his daddy to preach, and God called a brother to preach, and maybe an uncle or a granddaddy or something like that. He said, I got with God and said, God, he liked to build. He was in construction. He said, I'll build anything you want me to. Just don't call me to preach. Amen. I believe Brother Ronald meant it. Amen. He's done a lot for the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you for putting up with me. And it blessed me to tell the story. And believe me, I didn't tell it in full. I could take you back and tell you, I could talk to you till midnight how the Lord has worked in my life. I got no sad stories to tell. Amen. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior to me. Brother Junior, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?